Hello and welcome to the Rufus Project mini-episode, where we talk about whatever is grabbing our attention at the time. I am your host, Trevor Holland, and you will soon be hearing from my good friend, co-host, and king of cult cinema in Brisbane, Christian Fletcher. But what do we have in store for you in this mini-episode? Well, first up, I'm going to go back to look at some of the funkiest games you must play. Christian gets a bit more serious as we say farewell to yet another legend. 2016, what are you doing to us? Christian will also let you know about his upcoming events, and we'll have a look at our next Redeeming Features Cast movie. In the meantime, though, sit back, relax, and enjoy the podcast. I recently saw a trailer for an upcoming game which has made me want to visit a section that I come back to every now and then, being the games you must play. And this time I'm going quite a ways back. I am actually visiting a game and its sequel which were released on the Sega Mega Drive or Genesis system, depending on where you are in the world. The first game came out in 1991 and the sequel in 1993. I am referring to Toe Jam and Earl, and the follow-up, Toe Jam and Earl Panic on Funkatron. So what made these games special? Well, you really do need to divide them into the two separate games. The first game, Toe Jam and Earl, was almost looking down from above. It was at a slight angle as you moved Toe Jam or Earl, or both if you were playing with somebody else, around maps after their spaceship crashed landed on Earth, and they need to explore Earth in order to put the pieces back together so they can get back to their home planet of Funkatron. Of course, it wasn't just a matter of exploring. No, you had to deal with a range of rather interesting and highly imaginative Earthlings, ranging from Cupid, who would shoot you with an arrow and would change the directions the controller sent you in. There was a hamster and a ball, there was a mad dentist, bees, if you went in the water you had to deal with sharks, there was a woman with a shopping cart with a screaming baby inside, there was a ghostly ice cream van, and there was the boogeyman. Yeah, it's pretty much as crazy as it sounds. You weren't entirely defenseless, you could pick up presents along the way. Even occasionally, if you could sneak up on him, you could sneak up on Santa, which would make him drop more presents. And these gave you a range of power-ups from things that let you run faster, to wings, to even a tomato launcher, which let you, well, launch tomatoes at the humans, which actually gave you a fighting chance against them. If you played two-player, you could also separate, so the screen would actually split in half if the two players got too far apart, so you could each explore independently from the other, which was an absolutely awesome thing in a two-player game in 1991. Trust me, there was many games where you were stuck on the same screen at all times and could cause much frustration. The caveat to that, though, is that you would have to both be in the elevator to get to the next level. However, it was possible for one character to fall off a level and go down to previous levels, and they could use the elevator to get back up to the same level as the other character. Throw in a couple of hidden areas, a crazy sense of humour, and a soundtrack that could only be described as funky, and you have a really, really fun experience for one or two players back in 91. The sequel, Panic on Funkatron in 93, looked at what happened to Toe Jam and Earl when they got back to their home planet. It turned out that a number of Earthlings had hitched a ride on their spaceship and were running around, causing havoc to the inhabitants of the planet. Panic on Funkatron also differentiated from the original game by being a side-scrolling platform game. You could still play one or two players, but it did have the thing where both players had to be on the screen at the same time, which could cause issues, but there were other aspects of the game which well and truly made up for that. It still had a really wild cast of enemies. The only human that carried over from the first game was the boogeyman, still very entertaining, but we also had a rich lady with poodles, and the poodles would attack you if you hit the rich lady. There was a pigtail girl who would run around and kick you in the shins. There were tourists that would blind you with flashes from their camera. There was a duck on a magic carpet for some reason. And my absolute favorite was the cow phantom. Yes, a ghostly cow that would fade in and out of view and come towards you with a haunting, echoey moo. Ah, glorious. The aim of the second game was to capture all these earthlings in jars that you could throw. You also had various power-ups, including a vacuum, which would suck in all the nearby earthlings. Another option which would make your character run around rather uncontrollably, just throwing jars left, right, and center to get anything nearby, and a radar so you could see where earthlings could be hiding, and they would hide. They would hide in trees, they would hide under rocks, they would hide down manhole covers. It was all very creative and very imaginative. Along the way, you also met a cast of Toe Jam and Earl's Funktonian friends, who provided a nice distraction and a bit of information along the way. And there was even a bonus game where you had to put together the favourite things for Lamont, the great Funkopotamus, so he could bring the funk back to Funkatron, because the Earthlings were also draining the funk from Funkatron. The sequel definitely kept the spirit of that original game, being wildly creative, wildly entertaining, with a wicked sense of humour, and still having a really solid soundtrack behind it. To this day, I still love the music in these games. Now, if you want to try these games out, you can get them both quite cheaply on Steam, either individually or as part of the Sega Mega Drive and Genesis collection. You can also get them on Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3. They're available through the digital stores there. And of course, I would in no way condone anyone go find an emulator and download the ROMs. Would I recommend that? No, no, no. Even though it's not illegal, technically, it's a grey area. That's all I'm going to say. Let's move on. One final reason why it might be a good time to catch up on these two games is that it's been confirmed that Toe Jam and Earl Back in the Groove is due for release in early 2017. A Kickstarter game that was then picked up by Adult Swim Games. It recently had a trailer released and looks like it's going to be a bit of a combination of the two games. So if you want to know if you're going to like the new game, you probably should try both Toe Jam and Earl and Toe Jam and Earl Panic on Funkatron to get a good feel if you do like the style of game. I'm certainly looking forward to it, and I will be checking that out as soon as I can. And no, I am not going to talk about the Toe Jam and Earl game, number 3, that came out on the Xbox. We'll just pretend that one doesn't exist. In summary though, Toe Jam and Earl and Toe Jam and Earl Panic on Funkatron are games you must play.
This week we mourn the death of legend and comedy actor Gene Wilder, probably best known for playing Willy Wonka in the 1971 film Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. He captured our pure imagination and has been seen by generations since. But there's more to Gene Wilder than just the Candyman. An early performance of Gene Wilder in the Academy Award-winning Bonnie and Clyde from 1967 kind of assured his future as a man of comic talents. His humorous bit part as the screaming suitor that ends up hitching a ride with Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway as Bonnie and Clyde is one of the movie's memorable highlights. It was following this that he joined Zero Mostel and in Mel Brooks's The Producers. Best known for being made into a musical and a subsequent remake, the original 1968 Mel Brooks film is considered a cult classic and one of the funniest movies of all time. Gene Wilder plays the role of Leo Bloom, one of the producers, a mousy accountant prone to lots of screaming and panic attacks. Are we seeing a trend here? It was to be Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory from 1971, which would be the film that Gene Wilder would be most remembered by, and brought to the screen by Mel Stewart, As a tie-in for a new chocolate bar, the film has gone on to become a cult classic, a family children's iconic movie, and a big part of pop culture. Gene Wilder's performance as the lead Willy Wonka has gone on to become quite memorable. The film was remade in 2005 with Johnny Depp, but nothing can be done to dampen the memory of Gene Wilder in this role. I'm sure his recording of the song Pure Imagination will be played and remembered for many years to come. Gene would go on to appear in more Mel Brooks' comedies into the mid-70s. There was Blazing Saddles, the spoof of spaghetti westerns, followed by Young Frankenstein, or Frankenstein, however you want to say it, from 1974, which was a spoof of the Frankenstein tale, and actually utilised sets used in the original 30s movie. Gene Wilder playing the lead with mad delight. His rendition of Putting on the Ritz alongside Peter Boyle as the monster is still played to this day. I even have memories as a child of the 80s, when Gene would appear in lots of comedies with Richard Pryor, such as See No Evil, Hear No Evil. Referred to by the Willy Wonka kids as a very generous, caring man who never had a bad word to say, it's good to know that Gene now has a golden ticket free from dementia, and I hope he's found his own chocolate room. Gene Wilder, you will be missed, but your comedic talents and work as an actor on screen will be treasured for many years to come.
If you're blue and you don't know where to go to, why don't you go where fashion sits? Different types who wear a day coat, pants with stripes or cutaway coat, perfect fits.
It's Christian Fletcher here. Wow, I've been busy confirming the events for the second half of the year. Hard to believe we're already in September, but there's plenty of Christian Fletcher events coming up for the rest of 2016 to keep you entertained. Looking ahead, we continue the movie program at Boggo Road Jail. We have the 2005 Johnny Cash biopic Walk the Line on the 9th of September, and the iconic Shawshank Redemption on the 30th of September. Tickets are selling really fast for these, and I recommend you get in early. Head to boggoroadjail.com to book for the movies, and hey, you can even take part in a prison tour prior to the movie for an additional price. Full details are available at the website for that. Comedy Commentary Cinema continues on the 14th of September at the Milk Factory, South Brisbane. And hilarious live commentary is provided by comedians over the top of a trash movie. This time we have the 1980 Swords and Sandals trash epic Hawk the Slayer starring Jack Palance. We only have about 25 tickets available for this, so I recommend you get in early and book tickets for that through my website. Tickets are only $10 per person and it kicks off at 7 p.m. Why not get there earlier for a drink and some dinner? By popular demand, I'm putting on a Spice Girls night on Friday the 16th of September. It's been 20 years since the release of Wannabe and their debut album Spice. We have local Brisbane performers performing live covers of Spice Girls songs, and I've put together a compilation of concert footage, live clips, and music videos to keep the Spice Girls fans obsessed. And there's even a chance to dance to your favourite hits at the end of the night. Hey, this is half sold out, so head to my website to book your tickets now. I'm excited to be bringing back Showgirls, the 1995 cult camp classic, to the big screen at New Globe Theatre. That's on Wednesday, the 5th of October, for the 21st anniversary. Tickets are only $10 for that. Dress up, quote along with the movie, because it is definitely a must-see with an audience. I'm a bit of a Beatles fan, and A Hard Day's Night from 1964 is probably one of my top 10 favourite movies. I'm screening this to coincide with the late John Lennon's birthday on the 9th of October at New Globe Theatre. We've got the movie, followed by over an hour and a half of Beatles music videos and performance footage on the big screen. Hey, it's only $10, and what a great way to spend a Sunday afternoon. Kicks off at 2 p.m. A different way to spend a Sunday afternoon would be the 30th of October with the 70s horror double of Halloween and the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. We're getting in a day early to celebrate Halloween this year, and I'm really excited to be able to bring these 70s cult classics back to the big screen in an authentic 70s cinema. At New Globe Theatre from 1:30, we've got these movies screening back to back, but we've also got some zombie cabaret and live horror readings. David Bowie Day on Saturday the 5th of November is taking shape. At this stage, I can reveal we've got a 30th anniversary screening of Labyrinth at New Farm Cinemas in the afternoon, and at night, a David Bowie tribute at New Globe Theatre from 7 p.m, which has already started selling quite well, so I recommend you get in early for that. I'm excited to be celebrating the 50th anniversary of the controversial Jacqueline Suzanne novel Valley of the Dolls. It was adapted into a movie in 1967, and we will be screening that on this day. I do an interactive experience which involves jelly beans. The audience is encouraged to eat a jelly bean every time the word pill or doll is mentioned, or whenever one of the characters pops a pill. This outrageous twist on the cult classic is a great way to experience the movie. We've got pre-show 60s music, go-go girls, and a free packet of jelly beans for everybody. This is happening at New Farm Cinemas on November 26th from 4 p.m. And my last event of the year, a retro rewind Christmas party, which incorporates the music of the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s. We will be progressing through the decades over the course of the night, and this is a great idea for social groups and Christmas parties. Saturday the 10th of December at New Globe Theatre, all kicking off from 6 p.m. and going until midnight. And tickets are only $10, or book a group of four for $30. For full details about this and my upcoming events, visit christianfletcher.com or check out Christian Fletcher Events page on Facebook. I look forward to seeing you soon.
Thank you so much for listening to the Rufus Project. We hope you enjoyed listening to it as much as we enjoyed putting it together, and we would love to hear from you. If you have any thoughts, suggestions, requests, feedback, or just want to say hi, please do. You can head to our homepage, rufusproject.com, and leave a comment below this very episode. You can send us an email to podcast@rufusproject.com, or you can find the Rufus Project Super Duper Easy on Twitter and Facebook. If you listen to us through iTunes, please rate and review us. That would be cool too. And yes, I'm still waiting for the new feed to be approved by iTunes. We'd really love to hear from you if you have any thoughts about our next Redeeming Features cast. If you listened last week, you'll know that I chose Mystery Men from 1999 to see if it could be redeemed. Here's a little taste of what we've subjected ourselves to.
In a place called Champion City, the forces of good and evil...
Captain Amazing... What a surprise.
...are about to collide.
Well, we've always been each other's greatest nemesis. It's a sigh.
Nemesis.
Now, with the city's one true hero missing...
Captain Amazing is in danger.
Kaboom.
Who will step forward...
You again, wannabes.
...to answer the call of justice.
Don't mess with the volcano, my man, because I will go Pompeii on your...
Golly. They've been waiting for this moment.
The city's in peril, Lucille.
All of their lives.
Butch needs his vest back.
Well, it's my vest, too. I bought it for him.
But now that their time has come...
I'm a superhero, too.
What's his power?
Excuse me. They're going to need all the help they can get.
I guess the biggest mystery is this movie redeemable? Well, listen next week to find out. Now for the moral of this mini-episode, well, I'm going to let Willy Wonka himself take this one. Take it away, Gene. Take it away.
Time is a precious thing. Never waste it.
See you next time.